Hi guys, welcome to the Design League, and today we have new people here. We have Abby has been a prodigal son for a bit and he's back. Yeah, and then we have Dan, and then we have a new member actually, Tosin. Tosin actually joined us today, and today we are actually going to talk about how to build digital products. And this is a program that Abby actually took this program, and then he passed it, so he's going to share a few insights about these programs, and then educate us on this topic. So guys, that's it. So Abby, Dan Praise, and Tosin. So yeah, so I am just going to start with Abby. So Abby, so can you please explain to our listeners, you know, the reason why you took this course, and then what you were looking for to acquire, like, in this course?
Thank you, Daniel, before.
All right, yeah.
For bringing me on. Mm-hmm. It's been such an opportunity, and every opportunity to interact with you is always a good one. I miss the good ones.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Of course.
And we're talking about how to build digital products, a course I took at product school. Mm. I'm excited to discuss this because I actually have Tosin with me. So Tosin did the course first before me.
Oh, wow.
And then got the link, and then I registered, and it was quite insightful. So, I mean, having him on today too, it's going to be a great addition. So basically, I was inspired by my friend. So I saw people post on LinkedIn. I just finished this course. Oh, it was nice, how to build digital product. And then Tosin, my friend, did it too. And then it was just me about it that, I did a course. So I mean that I'm a designer. I'm a product designer. And then most of what I do is digital. So I was like, okay. I've been quite anchored on design for a long time. Maybe I should just learn something new, something a little bit out of my scope, but then that's very relevant to what I do. Great. So that was the question. And then to maximize my COVID break now. So I had to take it off. And then it was really, really worth it. And it got me so much interested in product development, product management, because I saw the other side of the coin that we don't usually see as designers. Mm. And so it helped me to, I could sink it in from a designer's perspective, the expectations of how to grow a product, how to make your product better, you know, what are the terminologies in this field. So these are basically what we're going to be discussing about today.
Okay, so, great. Yeah. Okay, great. So Tosin, I'm going to also, go with you. You basically took this course, you know, early, right?
Yes, I did.
Mean, it's I was privileged to, Abby shared did a small, what do you call it, PDF, and then he kind of gave me more insights about product management and then product marketing, basically. We are all designers, and then we are always hoping to go to the next level of design, because that shows that you are growing and stuff. So there's a slide that I actually saw, and then I was a bit, you know, I think the topic was product defensibility, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then Abby wrote, I don't know if it was a quote or so, that a situation where it's difficult for competitors to quickly enter a product, market. Can you basically share a few insights on this product defensibility? Yeah.
Great. So a product defensibility, actually this definition is not in the course. If you take the course, you won't see this there.
Oh, okay.
So just like expressed this in my own words based on what I just took from the course. Mm. So the situation whereby it's hard for people should come into your market where you play. Let's say you offer a particular service or a product, and then a situation like a Dangote now.
Yeah.
So it's a situation between a monopoly and then a very generalized very generalized commodity that everybody could easily go out to produce. So something like, for example, now the cement industry. The cement industry has a lot of product diversity, because not everyone can just say, I want to start producing cement today. I mean, there has to be, you have to get some authorities, you have to sign some documents, you have to own the natural resources before you could produce such things. So product diversity is a situation where it's really hard for people to get into your market. People can't just come in anyhow. It has to be well calculated. So it's really difficult for people to come in and come. So that's the scenario. Okay. And with, I don't know if you want me to go on.
No, I mean, I wanted to quickly ask Tosin the reason why he took this course and then what he was looking to kind of gain from this course. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Dan, for an opportunity. So for me, I have a background with project and program management.
Great.
Well, maybe not that. I used to be a designer before that as well. Back with Biodun from school days in OAU. But I think Biodun was more of a designer than myself.
Brandon Master. I call him Brandon Master.
Yeah, so I mean, I decided to do what I think I was more passionate about, which was strategy and research and development.
Oh, great.
So right now I get to work a lot with startup companies. Supporting them through programs like accelerators and incubation programs to help them scale some early stage idea stage, some of them growth stage. And for me, you know, working as a program or project manager sometimes with startups just keeps you at the point where you're giving advice to these startups, but you're not building yourself. And you really don't know what the experience is like to build. You only can advise. So I wanted to have that experience to know what it takes to build a product, so I could better be able to relate with these startups. And sometimes when they tell me some things, I know that, oh, this is really, really true. I mean, so I decided to take the course myself. Peradventure, I was going to maybe partner with someone to start a startup or a venture. I want to be hammed with such resources, and that was why I took the course myself. And maybe because I started my career in technology, I felt that I should just grow that knowledge in technology, because of the advantages, obviously, of technology. The fact that it has a low cost to copy, very easy to replicate, and it's easy to scale as much. I mean, it's just weird that the richest men in the world today, if you look at the metrics, I mean, at least for the first 10, you find most of them as technology guys, and they're pretty recent companies compared to indigenous companies that started 30 years ago and are still struggling to be on that table. So technology has a lot of potential, and that's why I decided to take the course as well.
Yeah, that's really good, because I mean, as you said, if you look at Jeff Bezos, for example, he's even making more money now. You know, Amazon's the kind of deliveries they are doing per day, it's actually serious, you know. And so I mean, like on my part, it's just a level of I'm also a graphic designer, UI UX designer, product designer, and then all of that. And then like product design is something that I've been doing for a bit, and it's like product management is something that is very, very critical to, you know, to like a certain company, right? And it's like in this I always like to relate stuff to this this environment that we are in, because most of the time we just find ourselves in companies where people don't follow processes, right? And it's like we tend to be like the people who are trying to be, let's say, to do like different, right? But like, I mean, what I've seen is that a good process is as good as the designer, right? And then it always works. And honestly, project management, I've taken like a little bit of courses on project management. I mean like product management, and it's very, very insightful. And like, it's something that, you know, like in this, let's say, environment, people don't really understand technology like that, right? So let's say for a businessman, if you're going to pitch something for like a businessman or whatever, it's good to always tell the person, show the ROI of whatever, you know, the person is trying to invest in, or let's say put their money into and stuff like that. And then I think like product management is a course that everybody should basically like look into, because when people see money, when people see numbers, when people start seeing numbers, that's when, you know, they start taking you seriously. You know, it's like you have been contracted to, let's say, design and to do like a UI design for an app or like a website, and then you go to Dribbble to copy like a design.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine for you to go to Dribbble, but not all designs are applicable when it comes to design and when it comes to like development, you know. Mm-hmm. So we just don't design for fun, we design to make money. That's how it is, you know. Yeah. And I think that product management is something that we kind of look through. So yeah, so I think Dan Praise a little bit. Dan Praise is quite new to, I mean, products, what you call management, and then UI, UX, basically. So Dan Praise.
Yeah, good evening. I started my product management and design like 2 months ago, taking courses on Udacity and other online platforms. And so far, understanding design from the perspective of user needs and solving problems is a core part of product design that a lot of people miss out on. They design for aesthetics and they forget functionality, which is very pivotal to product management, product marketing, and product development, which I feel is lacking presently.
So Abby, I mean, thanks for that, Dan Praise. I mean, Dan Praise is gradually catching up, and I know that he's going to be a great, like product manager or like great, product designer in future.
Yeah.
So Abby, I looked at one topic which I actually think you really enjoyed it when you were doing this. Branding for builders. Brand is a unique story. Yeah, there's a quote. The brand is a unique story customers recall when they think of you. Man, I was going through and I saw that, like, this is Abby. This is, you know. And then you kind of like talked about positioning model and then brand model. Can you share a few insights on this?
This course was my best course because I related so quickly, because as a designer, I mean, what we sell is brand, and then my favorites. So I think people have different perspectives to brand. But people feel like, that brand, when we use the word literally brand, in fact, when you check Google, you see brand like a stamp or something. So, but then brand itself is like an experience. It's beyond just a thing. It's just the logo or the identity. It's the feeling, how people feel about you, what they say about you. The first thing that comes to people's mind when they hear of your brand, that is what brand is. And it goes in positioning yourself rightly in the mind of people. That is, there's a way you want people to think, to see you, that specific things you will do in order for you to stand out uniquely. You don't try to come under someone or don't position yourself in a cluster. I mean, so for instance, when I think of MTN, I think of Yellow.
Yeah,
I think of every MTN. MTN, when you hear MTN, you just feel like MTN is everywhere in Nigeria.
Yeah,
like what they've sold to you, and that's what you believe. So if you just know that, just have MTN, you can go anywhere in Nigeria, and it's a default setting. And I'm sure that there will be some places where there will be better Airtel coverage or other network, but then MTN seems to be everywhere you go. Same thing for other brands. I mean, if you check other brands, they have one key thing they are riding on. They have one key thing they want people to think of. And I think it's a unique way to sell yourself, a unique way to position yourself. And something about brand positioning is that you have to be very clear about what your product is. So if you are a company out print shirts, let them know that we print shirts. Like, spell it out, be clear. Like, a baby or a child should be able to know what you're doing. A grandmother, don't use complex, don't be so complex that they can't decipher what this brand is. You are so descriptive, such that they can say, okay, when they think of where to go get juice, go for this company. When they think of furniture, go for this company. When you think of health, this is it. So be clearly pointed out that this is what I'm out to do. Now, one other thing that should be clear is, what are the benefits? Like, if people would stand to use your product, what would they gain? So you hear people coming up with Glow now. They claim they're the grandmasters of data.
Yeah,
that is, you plus data when you use them. They're clear about that, you know. And brands too have this thing we call emotion. So it might be funny because people, there are some names that I call and then you feel, oh, this is bold, this is strong. Now, let's talk about Uber and Taxify. Uber came and they owned the market, then Taxify came with promo codes. And everybody was everywhere jumping around, you know. And then I think Taxify, they're not bold, so they came in and Taxify bold, do you have Taxify code? Do you have Taxify code? And, you know, and everybody feel like, oh, that's why that was not eating our money. They are giving back to the community.
Yeah, that's true.
You get now. So Uber is just, all of a sudden, Uber became expensive. So, I mean, Taxify got their market through that. They want people to feel like, oh, we care about you. And meanwhile, there are ways where they could do this promo code and then they still charge what they want to charge from you. You get, but that feeling, that emotional feeling, they wanted to play on people's mind. That's a good way to enter the market and to diversify yourself.
Wow.
So another thing I learned in this course is, so talking about brand pyramids, you need to be clear on your product features, your product benefits, your emotional benefits, and the big picture. That is, for every commodity, there should be a big picture that this is what we want to achieve. We want to have so number of this percentage of population as our customers. You know, those are very important in brand positioning. So let me stop here.
I mean, to be like a product manager, it's a full, there are like lots of responsibilities, you know, for you to do. And then if you do it well, the digital product that you want to build for your company would always stand out as your brand, basically. Yeah. So Tosin, you mentioned earlier that you've kind of worked with startup before, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So how is it like? What are the challenges that you kind of face when it comes to like startups?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. In terms of what we are talking about.
So for me, I will try to put this in context of what we're talking about. I think what Biodo mentioned just now is one very key thing that not so many people get right, and that is clarity about what they do. So we deal a lot with investors as well, and if you're going to be speaking to an investor, you're going to have to spend little time to be able to communicate that massive value that you think that you're creating and you're passing across to them. before you will attract investment. And if you are not able to build up yourself to a level where you are clear, I think that you most likely will lose the investors before you even have an opportunity to tell them what you do. And so from the perspective of building digital products, I think as a product manager, let me bring this to the concept of product manager. There are other attributes that you should have. I mean, beyond knowing what you do very well or beyond knowing how to tell your story, that I think would influence how you run your business. All right. And so one of it is being accountable and being able to measure your product. And so I think it's something that startups don't do very well. And so if you meet a founder today and say, how many customers did you guys have this week? They don't know. Or how many customers came last week and did not come this week? They don't know. And that comes to product metrics, right? If you're going to be building digital products, you must, at the very beginning, set in place ways to be able to measure your product, because if you don't measure something, you can't improve it, right? Course, and it's a popular saying, yeah, you can't improve it. And that's like a very, very first level-based baseline that you should have in place, even if you're building digital products, that as you're building, you are able to measure the performance of your product, and that way you are able to improve those products as well. So you being able to embrace accountability for your products and track and measure performance, and you being able to be open to biases, I think is another important thing that I'll mention. So I think I'll just mention two. First, being able to track metrics of a product, and second, being open to bias. So when I mean being open to bias, I mean you see people who come to you and they already solved the problems in their minds, and they bring the solution and say, I built this for so and so. And then you will take this product to the person that you said you built it for, and for them, they don't need it. I've had that experience with the startup before, where they spent 3 to 6 months building a product, and you took it to the client, to someone who you assumed is your customer, and the customer is like, this is not my problem. And then they're like, oh, so I should have done something right from the very beginning, which is being close to your customer. I think that your customer is your product, not your solution. Right? I think your customer is your product, not your solution. And if you're thinking from the perspective, your customer being your product, you're going to be at every point in time close to your customer and consistently looking for ways to improve what you have always offered them. And I think those are some of the things that the great companies today have never stopped doing. So why is an Apple user still an Apple user for 10 years? And so the Apple phone is not the product for me. It's the user. The fact that they spend more time studying the user, opening themselves to feedback from the user, helps them iterate on this product itself. And sometimes it can be tricky because the user, and he will tell you that this is what he wants. When you then build it and you give it to him, and it's not what he wants. So as much as you are open to listening to your customers and being very close to them, you should, as a person, be able to distinguish sometimes between the misleading information or the misleading claims, and being able to then give the value that the customer really needs. So that's from my end for me.
Oh, well, that's great. That means I would say empathy having empathy is always the key when it comes to these things, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, because one thing I actually know, it's actually part of the process that I use, is, I mean, your client should be your, like, it's like somebody that you should work with your clients on a particular product, you know. And then always make sure that you are talking to the main stakeholders, right? Don't be talking to somebody whose boss will now make that decision, will now make that, let's say, business decision. right? For example, if, let's say, you're a company, you build, let's say, apps for people, right? And then, let's say like another company comes to you for your services, right? One thing I always say that we should always, we as like product managers to be talking to should be those people who are really parts and who are, let's say, decision makers, right? Because I think that's if you do that, it kind of limits the sayings where people will be like, oh, this is not what we were, what do you call it, looking for. This is not what we actually wanted. I'll give you an example. So at work, we were like designing a website for an industry, a spa industry. And then this industry is actually owned by a guy and his partner, right? And when this project started, I have been in contact with the guy, because the guy made us know that he was the final decision maker, right? So we finished this product, we designed the product, everything got approved, went to development stage. Now we did the development, and we had a call, which was a female voice, and she was the one saying that she is the final decision maker. So what we have done wasn't what she was expecting, you know. And we had this. We are still battling with this situation as like we speak now. We don't even know how we would actually make this thing work. The only thing maybe we can actually do is to talk to the guy to convince his partner, basically, you know. And this is like a major problem when it comes to, I mean, building like digital products for clients. You know, it's always an issue where the stakeholders involved are not, let's say, like decision makers, right? So that's what basically I've learned from that part. Anyway, Abe, so sorry, you in your prioritize, I think your slide 4, your let's page 4, you said prioritizing a product manager, right? And I read some few things here, and then you said I think your point number 4, you said improve the process, not the product. Can you
please? Not just the product.
Not just the product. Sorry, not just the product. God, yeah, I mean, yeah. Not just the
product. you don't say you're going to improve your product, you're your own.
Ah, so, I know, right? Yeah.
So the thing is that most times we are more focused on the output, like, oh, we need to get this right. Got this other app. They are competing up and they are doing this, they are doing that. So we want to try as much as well to squeeze ourselves to make sure we meet up with deadlines, we make something available. But then it's quite important that the process to which you put in place for your team to achieve this also good. In the sense that if you're laid out process already, there should be like, oh, this stage is for this. There should be like a step, and those steps should be improved. So if you have the process by which you guys starting from start on date, you implement the procedures you take to the final, you should make them based on how you've observed your market, feedback you've gotten, the new features you want to upgrade in. Not just your products will improve, but the process should also improve. That it should get better over time. If you need more, if you need more people to specialize on something to make it faster, you know. So this is just this particular page is just talking about things like more, some oversights, things we get carried away when we are doing it. But we feel like nobody knows, sees our process. So I can see cobwebs everywhere. As far as fine, we are good. So it's not just beyond that, because there are some things, if your product process is refined, if it's up to date, if it's powerful, what is currently happening, the recent trend, then it's easier for you to go back and make corrections, to go back and improve your product. because your product is as strong as your process. Actually, if your product is messy, if you don't have proper documentation, proper research tools, you know, all those things are not in place properly, I feel like you will tell your product eventually. You will tell your product eventually.
Let me quickly ask Tosin this question. So Tosin, right? You said in your works and stuff. What has been your how do you convince a business owner or the, let's say, that particular startup that you want to work with that this is the process that this is the process I am following, right? How are you able to convince people to use let's say like a specific process in terms of product management? The reason why I am asking this question is that in this environment that we are in, we find ourselves in a situation where people think process is just a waste of time, right? So how are you able to convince people on that aspect?
To be sincere, I think it's difficult because I've worked with various kind of people, and then we have founders and co-founders of startups that have great personality, and we have some that don't. And I've seen where companies have a very great product. I mean, their product solves a great problem, but their team is messy. And if you have a great product, a bad team, the product is probably going to die. But if you have a good team with a not so great product, there's a tendency that the product will survive over time after they learn and iterate and build value from that product.
True.
And so we always make them understand from the very beginning that as a founder, you definitely cannot be a one-way person. There's no one way to doing things. We just spell out our minds that we let them know that. And we always make it plain to them that as much as we advise you, you are still the one that will take the decision. It's your business. You are the founder. So try to listen to what I have to say to you. I have experience working with multiple startups. I've seen what has worked and has not worked. And so let's see if what we are saying is true or not. Sometimes I also refer them to resources, at least from trusted names that we know in the world. Even if they won't listen to me, if they hear somebody like maybe Jeff Bezos talking about something, they probably might want to believe. And we do a lot around community as well. So because we have worked with founders before who have been successful, over time, we tend to bring those people back into the cycle. So like an alumni engagement kind of thing.
So
we have this sessions where we just hang out on maybe the last Friday of every month, and we bring people who have been with us before, and when they hear them saying the same things that we have said, and they've seen how their businesses have been successful over time, it just becomes reality for them. You would have to follow, but for some of them, they learn from experience of having made the mistake by not listening. And it's entirely fine. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's right. It's just that people have great personalities. So as much as I try to advise you and show you how this thing has helped my work, because we even also practice process in my company, you are still the entrepreneur and you're still left to take that decision on your own. So it just boils on to how you can influence that person at the end of the day.
Well, that's actually good, because it has always been our problem in this because... Everybody wants everything to go fast, right? But if something is really done well, but in a very, let's say, medium pace or let's say slow pace, it's better, right? I actually took this advice from this guy on YouTube called, I think, Flux, or what's his name? He's a Webflow. He's always talking about Webflow guy. And then he said that he's a very lazy person. So for him, because he knows himself. So when you bring like a website project to him to design, he makes sure everything is detailed, everything is gathered, and then he will just do it once. Because what he really, really hates is doing a project and then coming back to it every time to do iterations and stuff like that. You know. And I think having process always wins. That's won for so many companies, right? And I hope that our business owners would take these things into like consideration to enable us, you know, work with the right process and also time, you know, and then all of that. Yeah. So guys, I mean, it's been an interesting conversation, and I've basically learned a lot from all of you. And I think, Abby, we should I don't know if it's okay for me to put this your material on my page for people to go and check it out and then read and
Why not? It's fine. It's good.
Yeah, sure. So this is actually to our listeners. I'm gonna upload it and then for you guys to have access to it. And it's a brief summary of basically let's say like product management. And if you read it, and it can be like a stepping stone for you to take like a major project management course or, you know, anything that related to that area. So now we are in this we are in this COVID-19 situation, right? And is there, this actually goes out to like everybody, is there any new, let's say, systems or ways you guys have adopted to satisfy clients in your various, let's say, companies?
Well, now that communications are majorly now online, I think more of it has to do with communication. Now you can't just, I mean, teamwork has a lot of follow-up because nobody's there. So you have to like give feedback and updates regularly. Mm. Oh, this is what we're doing, this is what we're working on. Okay, what's up with this? This is what I'm doing. As in, even before your client or your superior head wants to like check up, you have to have updated them, let them know how far what you're currently doing. And so I think it's just basic communication, really, because nobody knows what you are doing, so they want to understand. You want to make them feel that, oh, we got you, even if you can't see us, even if you don't know what's happening. But this is what we're currently working on. Tomorrow we're looking to achieve this. You know, I think communication helps to make the whole thing cool and works better. No. So majorly more communication, that's what it is for my end.
Okay. Tosin, do you have anything to say to that?
I was thinking actually that was what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
It's a big on communication. But also I think understanding your clients more, I think it's very important. I mean, being very clear on exactly what they want, it's like very, very important. And it might involve you also proposing that you work with your clients along the way to get some things done. But clarity is important, because once you're clear on it, it's easier to implement. We're likely to hit the bullseye as well, I mean, with our project. So getting clarity on your projects before just diving straight up is important. So
That's good. Dampreez, do you have anything to say? Because Dampreez is just listening and then taking notes, I guess. Dampreez, are you there? Well, I don't think Dampreez is on, but it's fine. So, guys, I mean, I'm really... Okay.
So now, I was listening to Inyabo Eji today on learning to work without people being physically there and so on. So my advice for product designers at this time, or product managers, is coming up with products that will help people without physical that will help them consumers not to interact directly with the product, people producing the product. Everything should be virtual now. Like some brands like Paga, now you have to have a virtual Paga store and so on. So the product designers and managers should work towards virtualizing everything that we scale, this thing wouldn't go even after the pandemic is over and so on. So we should always think about the future of things.
Oh, that's great. And maybe our next topic, we are actually going to talk more about AI in UX design. I guess that would be the major answer for all these things, you know. Yeah. So guys, I would like to thank Abby, please come back again. Oh, anytime. don't just leave us like that. And I really Tosin, I'm really glad you came today and you've kind of given us insights on what you call it, product management. And I'm really, really glad that you actually joined. Next time I'll personally call you to this show. Yeah, we have this show every Friday of the week. So at 7 p.m. So yeah. So I mean, when you are free, we normally send our topics like on Monday or maybe Tuesday for you to know what we are going to talk about. And then also, I know that we are all pros and then we are all like in that industry already. So anything that you can add to it will be very, very nice. Yeah. Dan Praise, I'm glad that you joined today. I'm glad that you guys joined today. And so maybe you guys can mention your Instagram handles for like our listeners to follow you guys for, you know, if they want to ask you guys any question.
Okay, so for me, my Instagram handle is Abiodun_Age. So AGEH, Abiodun_AGEH. That's my handle.
Okay, Tosin.
Okay, so for me, my handle is my surname, Rotimi Dokun. So once you search for Rotimi Dokun on Instagram, I think I'm the only Rotimi Dokun on Instagram.
And then Praise.
My handle is Dan_Praise. Just my name.
Yeah. All right. And then guys, you can find them on LinkedIn too with the same names, I guess, right?
If you search for Rotimi Dokun on LinkedIn, you bring out my name.
Yeah, and yeah. Abiodun to the same my thing.
Name, I get Abiodun on LinkedIn, you see me.
Alright. So guys, thank you guys for today. And this is the Design League. And then we are out.
Alright. Bye, everybody.
Alright, bye guys. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.